On this last Sunday and next Sunday, and I don't know if I'll finish by then or not, but I want to talk to you about fear. And basically, to remind you, the scripture tells us over and over again to fear not. Fear not. Don't be afraid. So this morning, I want to do some unpacking of fear. And I know you're thinking, I don't need to know what fear looks like. I know all about fear. I know what it is to be intimidated. I know what it is to be scared. But it's important that we distinguish these things for right now, because Satan uses fear against us. Happy birthday, Chad. Yay, Chad. All right, yeah. Anyway, okay. He's like me. He's holding at 49. No, you're not even that old yet, are you? I'm sorry. Boy. Okay. Sometimes you're afraid you're going to get the number wrong. Fear. Satan uses fear, and fear is the primary avenue that Satan works and works havoc. Can I just put it bluntly? Works hell in our lives. Fear is the pathway, the avenue. If he can intimidate you, if he can make you fearful, then you've lost. Fear includes, of course, being afraid, scared, worry, dread. It's apprehension. All these things are included in it. Fear is terror, anxiety, horror, distress, fright, panic, alarm, trepidation. And if I would have had more time, I saw somebody brought a Charlie Brown Christmas video box and it was laying there, and I thought, you know, I ought to grab that, but probably don't have time to rip from it. You remember the scene from Charlie Brown Christmas where Charlie Brown goes to see Lucy, the psychiatrist is real in, and you know, she's going through all these different phobias. Maybe you're afraid of cats. Maybe you're afraid of this. Maybe you're afraid of that. And now, oh, pantophobia. That's what it is, right? Pantophobia. What's pantophobia? The fear of everything. That's it! I got news for you. Every human has a degree of pantophobia. I did practice my Yoda voice, but I didn't like it, so I'll just remind you. He said, fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger to hate. Hate leads to suffering. There's some truth there. Now, I'm not going to unpack Job's story, but I will remind you, like you put up on the screen, Job chapter 3, verse 25, Job said, some people wondered, well, you know, they want to debate all the things that happened to Job and what did God allow. Listen, fear is the avenue. I mean, whenever Satan came to God concerning Job, the Lord said, see, everything that he has is in your hand because of this fear. Job said, for the thing I greatly feared. He was living with this fear on the inside. Even though outwardly he was righteous and did everything right, he was a godly man, but inside he had fear. The thing I greatly feared has come upon me. And what I dreaded has happened to me. Again, our own fallen nature, our souls, our mind, our will, and emotions give in to fear. We gravitate for fear, toward fear all the time. But yet when we come to Scripture, we hear over and over and over again, fear not. Fear not. When the Lord sends an angel, when God appeared to Abraham and the word of the Lord came to him in a dream, the first word, fear not, Abram. I'm your exceedingly great reward. Don't be afraid. God is constantly reminding us from Genesis to Revelation, don't be afraid. Well, Pastor, you just don't understand. When I'm scared, then I'm afraid. I'm just scared and I can't help it. Yes, you can. But listen to me. It is not natural. Meaning what? Okay. If I brought out a tuba and I said, come up here and play the tuba. You say, Pastor, that's not natural. It's unnatural. I can't do that. I can't play the tuba. Okay, it's like anything else. If you work on it, if you exercise, you know, you practice, you can get to where you can do things that you didn't think that you did. But see, again, too many Christians have a misconception about God. They think it's magic, that it's just going to somehow just fall out of the sky and all of a sudden they're going to be something and do something. No. Why else would Paul tell Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God? Oh, you mean I might actually have to crack a book? I might actually have to dig a little deeper? Oh, I just thought if God wanted it, it would just happen. Nah. We're afraid. We're afraid of almost everything. John put it like this in 1 John chapter 4. There is no fear in love. Perfect love, that is mature, complete love. Not perfect without, except just complete love, cast out fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect or complete in love. You need to become more like your Heavenly Father. And the only way that you're going to do that is when you get is when you draw near to him and you learn more about him and you spend time in his presence. You know, let's go back to the first fear, Adam and Eve. Now, there's lots of angles to look at, and they all have validity when you look at what happened with Adam and Eve and whenever they sinned. But the bottom line is the enemy came to them and convinced them that they were missing out on something. Created a fear in them that God was holding out on them, that God was actually deceiving them. That he knows that if you do this, you'll be like him. He's deceiving you. He doesn't want you to be like him. But as we know, they were deceived by the deceiver. Fear led them to sin against God. And it resulted in a warped sense of self-consciousness in them. Because what immediately did they do? They looked at each other and said, uh-oh, we ain't got any clothes on. Well, when did that ever become an issue for them? What did they do? They dressed themselves in fig leaves, which is symbolic of so much. But anyway, the point is, they were then trying to hide. And when the Lord showed up in the garden, when it's their time to meet together, what did they do? They hid. They hid from him. But they put these cover-ups on. They put up barriers to separate, to distinguish. You know, throughout history, as we all know, people, nations have fought wars against each other out of fear. Fear will cause you to lose out on most everything. There was a Jewish ruler who came to Jesus and said, Jesus, please come to my house. My daughter is sick and she's going to die, but if you'll come and lay your hand on her, she'll be healed. She'll live. Please, Jesus, come. And Jesus said he would come. But along the way, he got interrupted. And I think it's very important to realize that, you know, just because interruptions ruin your day, have the potential to ruin your day, does not mean that God still can't and won't work. We give up too quickly sometimes. You remember the woman who had a particular issue? She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. Jesus is walking in an area where I think it's Luke's take on this story. It said Jesus was being crushed by the crowd. He's trying to move through this narrow. Have you seen the streets in Jerusalem? I mean, they call them streets. They're not even alleys here. I mean, they're just narrow little things. Lots of people going through there, and he's trying to. And all of a sudden, he stops and says, "Somebody touched me." And his disciples, "Look, you're crazy, man. Who's not touching you?" But there's the difference between the touch of faith and just bumping into people. And this woman came up, touched the hem of his garment, touched his garment, and she was healed. And he stopped. And Jairus, I'm sure, is going, oh, please, come on. You don't understand. And so he's talking with this woman. Woman, your faith has made you whole. Mark chapter 5, verse 35. It says, while Jesus was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? Notice this now. As soon as Jesus heard what they said, the word that was spoken, he says to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid. Why would Jesus say that if it wasn't important in this guy's life and in this situation? Do not be afraid, only believe. And we could stop the message right here because this is the heart of it. What you choose to believe. Do not be afraid, only believe. He permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And there's a message there. Sometimes you need strong people around you that are going to feed your faith and help block out doubt. But anyway, listen to me. Fear and faith have this in common. They both believe that what you cannot see will happen. Both fear and faith both believe what you cannot see will happen. Faith ends where worry begins, and worry ends where faith begins. You know, our worst imaginings never happen. Most of our worries die in anticipation. A very old man one time was asked what robbed him of joy in his life. He thought for a moment, he said, well, the things that never happen. And it's so true. We spend our time, we spend so much time and energy worrying about things, most of which is never going to happen. Do you remember the things you were worrying about this time last year? Pastor, it was the same thing I'm worried about now. How to pay for Christmas. I do remember that. Now, you started to think you entered into 2019, you had certain concerns and fear. How many of those things that you were worried about actually came to pass? Most of the things that came against you as worry, most of those things did not come to pass. It's like the weather. You know, we talk about the weather and the horrific weather, and weather is certainly being hyped in our culture now, but you realize that still, by far, nothing's changed. We have more stable days of weather than we have unstable days of weather. A lot of people who are worrying about the future instead need to be expending their energy on preparing for the future. Fear holds you back from stepping out and doing something different. I got news for you. When you are being robbed by worry, it's always an inside job. Every time. Worry never changes anything except the worrier. Change you. You don't have to be afraid of tomorrow. You know why? Because our God, who transcends time and space, our God is already there. How many of you remember who Corrie Ten Boom was? She was a woman who was a survivor of the Holocaust. And I actually, back years ago, and oh man, when would this have been? 74 maybe, she was at Kansas City Youth for Christ. And I was one of the few, they're no longer doing what they used to do, but they would bring in people like her, and they would spend some time just talking to students. And I don't remember much of what she said, but I remember they brought her out, set her on a chair, because she was in her 70s, 80s at that point. And anyway, Corrie Ten Boom, she said this, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future, what you don't know, what you're worried about tomorrow. Trust that to a known God. And your struggle is, can I just be blunt with you this morning? I'm sorry. It's just, if you're still worrying about it, it's because you really don't trust God. Listen, sometimes you've got to act in spite of your fears. Not because of it. Listen, if you're afraid to step up to the plate, if you're afraid to step up and even get in the batter's box, I promise you, if you will not do that, you're never going to get a hit, much less ever hit a home run. It's just not going to happen in your life. You got to get up in place. You got to get ready to go. You got to step out in fear. Worry doesn't help tomorrow's troubles, but it does ruin today's happiness. Catholic lady, Sister Mary Tricky, she said this, fear is faith that it won't work out. And so instead of just sitting around thinking of all the ways, and I've told you before, that's what worry is. Worry is an unsanctified use of your imagination. It is the wrong use of your imagination. God gave you your imagination. But what we do is we take our imagination and we imagine all the things that can go wrong. What will probably happen, and then it'll crash and burn, and we'll die of smoke inhalation from whatever's there. You know? Instead of using our imagination to apply it to the promises of God, to go to God's Word and imagine all the ways that God, who is the miracle-working God, might come and do it this way. He might do it that way, but it doesn't matter. However God does it, I'm going to let God be God. And you begin to, in your imagination, see God bigger than your problems. And then you come and let Him take control. Here's what we ought to do. Peter said it like this in 1 Peter chapter 5. Therefore, humble yourselves. Remember that. I'm coming back to it. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. This is the thing. We talked about this in our series that lasted virtually all year long. Some people, they think the only way that God works is by an instantaneous miracle. And if that doesn't happen, well, then you don't get anything from God. And we pointed out over and over again how that wasn't even true in the healing ministry of Jesus. How many times did He tell people, here, go wash your eyes there, go show yourself to the priest? They were not healed instantly. Some guy He had to touch twice. He had ministered to him twice. He says, you see now? Well, I kind of see men. They look like trees that are walking around. Jesus ministered to him again. Yet we think if it doesn't happen, an instantaneous miracle, then we don't get anything and we give up. It is through faith and patience that we are inheriting the promises. You got to fight to win. God wants to grow you. We got all these people wanting to talk about God developing character. Well, He just wants you to sit there and suffer because that develops character. And most people I know who go through things like what the context they're talking about, they don't come out better, they come out bitter. They're not developing character, they're not developing anything except just sit there and take whatever the devil dishes out. And they never fight back. What about the character of fighting to win? Putting on the whole armor of God, standing on the promises of God. How come there's rarely any talk about that? That you stand on the promises and you continue to, having done all to stand, stand. That's the kind of character that needs to be developed in you. That I will not quit, I will not give up, I'm not going to be ran over by the devil. I'm going to receive God's promise, I'm going to enact the word, I'm going to stand on the word, it's going to be the sword of the Spirit, I'm going to fight till I win. No matter how long the battle takes. When you think about the battles that the ancient Israelites fought, which the New Testament tells us, those things written in the Old Testament are written as examples for us to know how we are to live today. There were very few. Yeah, there's the Battle of Jericho, but even it wasn't won in a day. One battle took so long. Somebody had to speak for the sun to stand still. Need a longer day to fight this battle. Somebody crude would say, we're just going to make this a longer all-day butt-whooping. But I'm not that crude, so I wouldn't say that to you on a Sunday morning. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. And you know what? You have a role to play in due time, how long that is. Because if you're going to quit halfway through, guess what? It ain't coming soon. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Now, what do I got here? Yep, I do. Okay, so I wanted to highlight it this way, because pointing out, humble yourselves. How do I do that? What does that mean, humble myself? Well, you humble yourselves, in this case, by casting all your cares upon Him. Now, let me explain that to you. You humble yourself by casting your cares. Well, this is actually taken. Peter is taking this from one of the Psalms. Let's say Psalm 34, 37. Anyway, doesn't matter. But it's interesting. Years ago, I did a word study on that from the Hebrew. And really, it says, we're casting all your cares. The picture is of a wrestler. You know those guys on TV. You know. Those guys. You pick up your cares and you body slam them down. Casting your cares on the Lord. This is not just, oh, Lord, have a... No. It's when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you go in the strength of the Lord in the name of Jesus. Boom, Lord, these are yours. You see, when you humble yourself, that is, you are in one sense debasing yourself. You're saying, Lord, this is not the way you've designed me to deal with these things. You told me to cast my cares and trust in you. I can cast my cares on you. I'm turning them over to you. I'm taking them out of my hands and turning it over to you. Now, it doesn't mean that you do nothing at that point. You're going to continue in faith, which is simply doing what the word says. You're casting your cares on the Lord. That's how you humble yourself. You humble yourself by casting your cares upon him, knowing he cares for you. I'm going to call him Teddy Kyler. He said this, God never built a Christian strong enough to carry today's duties and tomorrow's anxieties piled on top of them. Amen. Just focus on today. And if you each and every day do what God gives you to do that day and not worry about tomorrow and try to micromanage tomorrow because you can't even see into the future. All you can do is plant seed for a harvest. But if you do what God tells you today, I promise you, your tomorrow will work out. Doesn't mean that it's going to be problem-free. Weeds still grow in the garden. We live in a fallen, broken world. There is an adversary. But you stay on the path of obedience, and you will come out victorious. Okay? The psalmist found the best way to combat fear. In Psalm 56, beginning of verse 3, says, but when I am afraid. Notice he didn't say, if I ever get afraid. These were real people too, speaking to us. When I'm afraid, I will. He's making a choice. I make the choice. It is my will, my decision, my choice to put my trust in you. I make a choice here. Praise God for what he has promised. You're praising God. In other words, instead of out of your heart and mouth coming all the whining, complaining, and concern and worry about, oh my, what's going to happen here? And just letting it tie you up in knots. Instead, you should begin to praise God for what he's promised. Father, I thank you that I'm the head and not the tail. I thank you that I'm above and not beneath. I thank you, Lord, that no matter what is surrounding me, I'm going to go through because you said that you would be with me in the fire and in the flood. Amen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, remember? Thrown into the fire, but who was there with them? What are we praying? Oh God, I don't want to go on the fire. Please don't let me go on the fire. You understand? When you know your God. That's why they could stand before the king. Said, King, very respectfully, we understand who you are and what we do, but that doesn't matter because we serve somebody above you. We're not going to bow down. And our God will deliver us out of your hand. I trust in God. Again, it's a conscious choice. I choose to step. No, thoughts of worry. You got to listen. You know the voice in your head. The voices, for some of you. And you need to talk back to them. Just because it's in your head does not mean that it's valid. Doesn't mean that it has a right to be there. Tell it to shut up. No. And if you have to, do the little kid thing. I still do that. Okay? Those thoughts, they don't have a right to pull me away from the promises of God. So I'm not listening to them. So you be quiet in the name of Jesus. And then I begin to speak the word. I praise God for what he's promised. I trust God. So why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? All of us have experienced some measure of intimidating fear in our life. Intimidated around other people. And that's what I'm going to talk about next week. The fear of other people. Because some of you, you're in work situations. You're in school situations. And you're intimidated by other people. And, you know, look, life's too short. Be here next week. All right? Or you can listen online. But we've all had some of that. And it's not a good feeling. It's tormenting. It's uncomfortable. And if we don't purpose in our hearts to conquer it, we're not going to accomplish a whole lot for God. Worry never fixes anything. In fact, let me tell you what Bill Shakespeare said. Our doubts are traitors, and they make us lose what we oft might win by fearing to attempt. Fear is the human condition. Like I said, this is throughout history. People understand it, but they also understand that if you don't deal with it harshly and decisively, it will dominate your life. Why should you? Life's too short. Fear and sabotage lock people's minds against fresh ideas. When you are ruled by fear, you know what? You'll find yourself unable to make the very changes that will eliminate it. So as we close out here, I want to focus on a very familiar passage. If you've spent very much time in church, we preachers like to come to this passage because you can preach just about anything out of Matthew 25. But I'm just going to focus on one thing. So I'm going to read fast. Please follow along on the screen or on your device, or if you still have paper copy, that's good too. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14, Jesus says, again, it will be the kingdom of heaven. It will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent. Notice this, each according to his ability. Why don't I have what they do? Because listen, this is where you're at. Okay. We all start out as babies. Don't look so shocked. You were a baby. And you know what? We all had to learn to walk. You know what? And when you were learning to walk, you did not do it perfectly. You fell. You fell and fell until you could get your balance, and then you could take a few steps, and you still fell a lot. But then eventually, you learn to walk. And then you learn to run. Right? Okay. You don't entrust little babies who are learning to walk to carry big, heavy items. Go clean your room. Pick up all those toys and pick up that box and put it on that top shelf. You don't do that. Why? It's beyond their ability. But you know what? That child will grow up to be a teenager and still won't do it. Not that they can't, not that they're capable. Okay, but I digress. Where were we? Okay, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned to settle accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied the same thing. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. They both got the same commendation. Why? Because they were both faithful with what was given to them. Now, let's stop right here because I want to point out a couple of things here. This is how you still grow. Some people think, oh, Pastor, this is just my lot in life. This is what God has given me, and I can never have anything more. So I'm going to sit here and be Eeyore. See my little cloud, and it's raining on me. And this is all I get. No, no, no. He gave each according to their ability, right? So you had one guy, he's a pretty sharp guy, He's a five-talent guy. Next guy, he's pretty good. He's a two-talent guy. This guy, well, he's going to need to grow a lot. He's still at the one-talent level, but there's hope there, okay? But notice something. This five-talent guy, all of a sudden, he's now a ten-talent guy, isn't he? He can now manage ten. And we're about to find out he's going to get one more. But I get ahead of the story. The two-talent guy, all of a sudden, now he's a four-talent guy, right? He grew. He became something more than just a two-talent guy. Your lot in life doesn't have to be where you're at now. It can grow. It can expand. You can increase. But you're going to have to apply what you've been given. And you've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. Then the man who received the one talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown, and gathering where you've not scattered seed. And that's not true, but this is the fear, the worry that was working in this guy's heart and mind. So I was afraid. Again, just like with Adam and Eve, they became afraid, they hid. They heard the voice of the Lord, they were afraid, they hid. This guy says, I was afraid, so I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. His master replied, not the same thing. You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvested where I had not sown and gathered where I had not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the banker so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him. Give it to the one who has 10 talents. Meaning what? This guy's grown. He was 5, he's a 10, and he can handle one more. He's proven himself. He's grown. For everyone who has will be given more. And he will have an abundance. Oh, I'd like to take off on that. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. I'm telling you, the enemy will eat your lunch. You let fear dominate your life. Who are you going to believe? And throw the worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Remember the darkness part there because I'm going to come back to it just as we close here. Satan loves it when we're intimidated. When we view ourselves as unqualified and insignificant, lacking confidence and feeling insecure, we play right into his hands. Because there will come a paralysis in our life. But Jesus tells us in John 8:44, we're not going to turn there and look at it, that Satan is the father of lies. The truth is not in it. He is incapable of telling the truth. When he says, you can't do that, who do you think you are? Listen, he's lying. Paul wrote this and said in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. He says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. Now, let me just stop right there. How many of you are born again? You put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Okay, you've been born again. Let me just start telling you, you did not qualify yourself for all the blessings, the rights, and privileges in Christ Jesus. No, giving thanks to the Father, he's the one who has qualified us to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in light. The other guy was thrown in darkness, but we've been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Okay? He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Listen, when you come to God's word and you seek promise in God's word, you hear promises proclaimed like in a setting like this, you need to embrace those things. Receive them. Never be afraid of the light of God's direction. Maurice Freehill asked one time, who is more foolish? Who's more foolish, a child that's scared of the dark or an adult who's afraid of the light? And yet there are people who are afraid of the light of God's word. They're afraid to partake of the promises. Oh no, I'm just an unworthy worm. I don't deserve. You realize what an insult you are doing to your Heavenly Father? Who said he's the one who's qualified you to be partakers. And if you refuse to come to the table and partake, and yet these same people, bless their hearts, want to blame God for what's not right in their life. God, why are you doing this to me? Why don't you come and partake and participate. Cultivate believing and acting on God's promises above and beyond over your fears. We've got to renew our minds with the Word. We must see ourselves the way that God sees us. Whatever is intimidating you to the point that is paralyzing you, you got to face it and decide that you're going to do it anyway. So right now, I want you to set your stuff aside and let's just wait here a moment on the Lord. Because I hear the word of the Lord this morning. The God who loves you, the God who is for you, not against you, the God is calling you to more than what you have had, what you've been doing, wants to see you successful and defeating the enemy at every turn. He's not left you defenseless. He's not left you without provision, ammunition, weapons. But there are those here this morning that so often you try to put on a brave front, but because of the fear on the inside, because of your lack of education, because of the way you look, because of what you don't have, because people have told you that you shouldn't expect too much, and you've let that come and fester and build up in your heart and mind. And I want you to know your Father is telling you this morning, it's a lie. I've created you for more. Will you believe it? Will you choose to trust in Him? Will you choose to believe Him and His promises? If you've been battling fears, you've been battling intimidation, I want you to stand to your feet right now. Oh, I can't do that. I'm afraid. Listen, act on it. Fight against it. Don't sit there. Stand up. Stand up. Quit being victimized. God is not finished with you yet. There's more in store for you. And this can be. This is just not a fine thing to preach at the end of the year, coming into the year, but this really can be your best year yet, because you're choosing to fight the things that have been holding you back and intimidating you and telling you no, you can't. And all the worries, all the fears about why you can't. It's a lie. Even if you're not standing, I want you to pray this prayer after me, because I believe it'll help all of us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your promises. I choose to trust in you. You are my Father, and I am your child. And I will become more and more like you. I will not be afraid. I will trust in you. I will do what you've given me to do. And I will grow in my abilities. And my lot in life will increase. Satan, you're a liar. And I'm pushing back. Starting this very day. No. I will not be afraid. For the Lord is with me. He is my sword and shield. And I will defeat you. And every voice. That every imagination that tries to exalt itself above the knowledge of my God, I will cast down in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Praise the Lord. Your life is a precious thing. It has worth and value here and now. That's why God doesn't just take us to heaven when we get born again. and the impact, the influence of your life. Yes, your life, the influence impacting other people is of great worth and value. More next week. Father, I thank you that you are the God above all gods, and that, Lord, that you live in us, and we're tired of putting you in a box under a bushel. Lord, we're going to let you shine big through us, and we're going to grow in confidence day by day as we choose to believe you and trust in your word and put it into practice in the name of Jesus. Amen.